We turn to Luke's Gospel and chapter 10, a very familiar story, I guess, for all of us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, from verse 25, headed the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said. 'When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So the last in our short series, just reflecting on some of the key issues that we come across in Scripture that I think it's helpful to reflect upon, dig beneath the surface a little bit. We've looked at the authority of Jesus, the blessing of Jesus, the glory of God, faith, what that is. Faith as a journey, never the sense of "I've arrived," but always journeying, following Jesus. Us as a community, God as Father. Our character, the transformation that God brings about in our lives, our character that the Bible talks about as fruit, the gifts that God gives us. It's no point having fantastic gifts but not having the character to go with the gift. So fruit and gifts kind of went together, and then we reflected on prayer, and then last week on Scripture. And as I've already said, today we're going to be thinking about love. And when Jesus asked this expert in the law, what must I do to inherit eternal life, Jesus turns the question back to the man, as so often he does, and says, "Well, what do you think? What does your law say?" And when you read the Gospels, it's something that Jesus often does. He answers a question with a question, and isn't that frustrating? When you think, "I asked the question because I wanted to know the answer," but Jesus often just says, "Well, what do you think? What does your law say?" And the man, the expert in the law, was able to reply very straightforward in verse 27. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." And Jesus answers this man and says, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Do this and you will live. And isn't it true that sometimes we so complicate our Christian faith, our Christian journeys, and we say, "Well, it must be about this or that or the other, or we must live like this or that or the other." And Jesus says, "Here's what's important. You've answered correctly. Love God with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And also, love your neighbour as you love yourself." And we're going to reflect just for a few minutes on these three. Loving God, loving yourself and loving others. And of course, we begin with loving God. And I've got four words just to pick up on loving God. Father, Jesus, unconditional and dependable. The verse perhaps to go with God's love and God's love as a father. 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That was one of the verses I learned very early on in my Christian life. That somebody gave to me as a reminder. God is your Father. God loves you as a father. How great is the love the Father has lavished on you that you should be called children of God. And I love the way that it's expressed in that verse. How great is the love the Father has lavished. I love this word, lavished on you. I think sometimes we struggle with love. In the same way that sometimes I think we struggle with encouragement. And we live as if there is a limit to the amount of encouragement that exists in the world or in the universe. So we've got to kind of portion it up and every day say, okay, I will encourage you with this today's portion of encouragement. But then I can't encourage you anymore. As if there's a limited supply. And I think we treat love in the same way sometimes. That it, as if there's a limited amount of love out there, that God's love is somehow curtailed, and there's so much love, but only so much. And we must receive that love, and then it's done, certainly for now. But the scripture reminds us how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Just this last week, I was away on a conference in Leipzig, in the old East Germany. And I don't think in any conference we've been catered for food-wise so well. It was fantastic. Breakfast, you know what breakfast is like in hotels? You know, buffet breakfasts? It seems a shame not to show your appreciation for the amount of breakfast that is available to you. So, you know, you've got to have, and there's all sorts of different shapes and sizes of plates. So really, to demonstrate your appreciation, you need to use all the plates available. All different shapes and sizes. And fill up the plates. And of course, what this means is that you get to your first seminar. Fortunately, I gave a paper in an afternoon, so it wasn't so bad. But you get to your first seminar, 9 o'clock in the morning, everybody, you know, quite full. 10:15 was the first coffee break. And the hotel laid on coffee, but huge quantities of cakes. And when you're presented with huge quantities of cakes, it's a shame not to show your appreciation and to just pile up your plates. Isn't this right? And if there's cream on the side, what do? Well, it's a shame not to. And then at lunchtime, lunch came at 12 o'clock. I don't know, German time is a bit odd. But 12 o'clock, it's a bit early for me, but there was lunch and I couldn't refuse. So lunch was there and it was fantastic. And then afternoon and so on. And it reminded me of the way in which God lavishes. You see, I can look and, you know, seeing Zoe yesterday, she said, are you excited about your book getting published? All I was talking about was the food. This hotel. You know, and we look at that amount of food and think, oh, we didn't need that much. We didn't need that much. I normally would never eat like I've ate this last few days. And I think sometimes we look at God and go, we don't need that much love. You know, we don't.
Yeah.
And so we kind of step back, we step forward and say, I need your love. And then we get the first drop of God's love and think, how sweet, how lovely, how beautiful. Thanks. And God's going, whoa, hang on, I'll get so much more. Just stay where you are. Stay. Come again. I want to lavish my love. And this is the picture of God as Father. The picture of God as Father. His love is such that he would lavish his love upon you. Now, of course, love comes in all sorts of different shapes and sizes and fashions. And there is that love whereby we just know that we belong to God as Father. Where God says to us, you are my son, you are my daughter, I love you, I am pleased with you. There are other times when God's love, his Father love, comes to us as correction. As correction. Proverbs 3 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and then goes on, do not despise correction. And the Father's love comes sometimes as correction. And it's not saying that you're lost and I need to save you again. It's like a train that's just run off the tracks, and we need to get back, put on the tracks so we can run again. And God's love comes to us as encouragement, as a keep going, keep going. God's love as a Father love is lavished upon us. And for some of us today, we need to know that Father love of God. To mention that at the end of the service, there'll be opportunity to be prayed for. And in fact, when I've finished talking, we're going to sing some songs, just create space so you can be prayed for at the front as we're worshipping. And you may find that an easier thing to do, just to come up to the front and receive prayer, very simply. And you may need to come up and just say, look, I just want prayer. I need a blessing that God might pour out his love on me and I might experience his love. Not just in my head, but somehow in my heart. I need to experience the Father love of God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And so that is the Father love. The second thing, of course, is this word Jesus we quoted earlier, John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. God's love is revealed to us principally in the Lord Jesus. God loved the world so much. I was brought up, of course, within a tradition that's always wanted to translate that verse as not as God so loved the world, but God so loved you that he gave his son, the Lord Jesus. And I had to learn, no, it actually says God so loved the whole world, everything in the world, all that is encompassed in the whole cosmos, the whole world. There is nobody outside. And yes, of course, at times I want to personalise it, but there is something enormous and vast and wonderful. God loved the world so much that he gave Jesus. And that is how God's love comes to us, in the person of Jesus. If we want to know how much God loves us, we can look again at Jesus. As the writer to the Hebrews says, in one place, fix your thoughts on Jesus. In another, fix your eyes on Jesus. This focus. Get your focus right. Get your perspective right. Look at Jesus. Because in him you see the love of God. And there are so many stories that are told and were told and we continue to tell about Jesus. About how he lived, how he treated people with compassion and kindness. And we see there the love of God revealed in Jesus. There was that lady who came, who was brought to Jesus, thrown down in front of Jesus. She'd been found committing adultery, dragged probably out of bed, thrown down before Jesus. And the young man who brought her to him, we found her in adultery. The law says we should stone her. What do you say? And of course it was a trick to kind of try and catch Jesus out. Find out whose side he was on. Do you remember how Jesus just wrote in the sand for a little while? And then he looks up. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he started doodles in the sand again. And then, one by one, I like the fact it's the eldest who go first. Is that because they have a lifetime of sin? Or because they're wiser? The oldest surrounding this woman go first. I'm not guilt free. They go. And then the young men, they leave. And then Jesus eventually looks up and it's just him and the woman. Is there no one who will accuse you? Then neither do I. Go. Don't do it again. And then Jesus spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. You want to see what God's love is? It's right there in Jesus. I don't condemn you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know, so many times I hear people say, yes, God is love and God forgives, but we've got to remind people that they're sinners. Do you know, I've had a lifetime of that. What does it do? Just reminds me how guilty I am, what a failure I am. We need to be reminded that we are loved by God. There is therefore now no condemnation. And it's an extraordinary thing. And that love is revealed in Jesus. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't that begin? This is how God showed his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we see the Father love of God. We see that love revealed in Jesus. And then we see the unconditionality of that love. It is without end. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. It doesn't depend upon you. It's not, I'll love you if you love me back. I'll love you if. Let's do a deal here. But God says, I will love you regardless. And we might say, well, how does that work? How can that possibly be so? How can God's love truly be unconditional? What if I never respond to him? What if I walk out this morning and think, yeah, fine, thanks, I'm not receiving, I'm not going to go up and be prayed for, that I might make progress in terms of receiving and experiencing and knowing God's love. How does that work? That God still loves me, regardless. The answer is very simple. And the Bible tells us God is love. God is love. And I don't think God has DNA. I don't know. I don't think he has. But, you know, we all have DNA. And I'm told that we can go down to the smallest elements in our body, some of the smallest elements in our body. And within each one of us, within each of ourselves, there is a set of DNA. And that DNA, we're told that scientists can examine that DNA and they can tell it's us. They can say, it's me, rather than somebody else. And that's the most wonderful, marvellous thing. And I think sometimes, if we could do that with God, if we could get down somehow to his DNA, that DNA that we can look at and say, okay, I know that's God. Not somebody else, but it's God. What would it say? And it would say, love, 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 love. Because God is love. He loves unconditionally. He can do no other because he is love. So his love is unconditional. It does not depend upon you. It doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are. And don't we sometimes use that excuse, I'm not worthy, I've done too much stuff wrong, whatever. Yes, you have. You've done way too much stuff wrong. I've done way too much stuff wrong. But, you know, don't live on it. Understand God loves you. And maybe you need to respond this morning and receive prayer that you might stop living in that old way and start living with a freshness and loved unconditionally. And then the fourth element here, it's a dependable love. It is a dependable love. If you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to Romans and chapter 8. And at the end of Romans chapter 8, there is this wonderful expression of God's love. Verse 37, this is on page 1135. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing you can do that will challenge God's love for you. It is utterly dependable, utterly faithful. There is nothing anybody else can do to you that changes this fundamental, dependable truth that God loves you. There is nothing in heaven or on earth or under the earth. There is nothing in prehistory or history or future history that can affect this truth and reality that God loves you. It is utterly dependable. I don't know, it may be that for some we have lived with an experience in relationships. Might be with our own father. Might be with a partner. Where we've said, I'm not convinced that love is dependable. Because I've been there and I've been hurt. And so I'm always wary now. And what we perhaps tend to do is transfer that onto God and say, okay, I don't trust these people because they've hurt me, I'm independent. And so when we think about God's love, we think, oh, well, maybe he's not dependable either. And again, maybe our response has to be, I need to break through that. I need to stop living on my experience. I need to come to that which is absolutely true, that God is love. You can depend upon his love. He is utterly faithful in his love. So what we learn about the love of God, it is a Father's love. It is revealed to us through the Lord Jesus. It is absolutely unconditional and it is totally dependable. The second element here is loving yourself. The expert in the law, when he's asked by Jesus, what does your law say? How do I inherit eternal life? Love God, your heart, mind, soul and strength, and then love your neighbour as you love yourself. And although it says love God, love your neighbour, as you love yourself, we often put yourself at the end. And in fact, it needs to go second, because we can only love our neighbour in the same way that we love ourselves. If you don't like yourself very much, how much are you going to love your neighbour? Not very much. If you love yourself in that sense of a true appreciation of yourself, you care for yourself, you look after yourself, you're concerned about who you are and where you're heading, you want to be the best you that you can be because you know you are loved by God, that God has made you an amazing person, a beautiful, handsome individual. You know that this is how God has made you, so you choose to love yourself and care for yourself and to be the best. And if you know that for yourself, then how much more will you love your neighbour? It is love your neighbour as you love yourself. Love your neighbour in the same manner in which you love yourself. And it may be that this morning our response is along these lines. You need to break out of an old way of thinking, an old way of living. It's about, I don't actually love myself very much. I don't think anybody else loves me very much. You know, maybe that's where we are. And maybe we just need to say, oh God, I'm sorry. I don't want to live with this. I've lived so many years with it, and I don't want to ruin the rest of my life because I don't receive that love for myself. And the command is to love your neighbour. The story that Jesus tells is about loving a neighbour. Do this and you'll live. Do this and you'll live. Loving your neighbour. So it's important that we understand the love of God, the Father love of God, revealed in Jesus, unconditional, dependable. It's important that we come to a deep understanding of loving ourselves. You are lovable. God loves you. You are lovable. And if you are telling yourself anything else, then you need to stop telling yourself anything else. You need to say, okay, everything may be against me, but I'm loved by God, and I want to love myself and learn what that means. And then the final thing here, of course, is loving others. This is the loving your neighbour. And this love is practical. This love has to be practical. This love that Jesus spoke about, the Good Samaritan, was practical. It's not just, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. You know, but stay over there. Don't get too close. That's practical. How do I know I am loved? It's in practical ways. Sometimes we have very simple gifts. Kindness is the word of encouragement that is given. I know I am loved. Sometimes, and I can remember specific instances, but those, in a sense, who have mentored me have brought a word of correction. And I've known the pain of love in that correction for them. And I've received the love with which and in which it was said. And it may be that today we need just to receive love again and to give love again. Maybe we need to be imaginative and creative and to, how can I practically demonstrate love? And I trust that we will know God's blessing as we respond to him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your love. Gracious Father, thank you for your amazing love. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you that you love us as a father, that love is revealed in Jesus. It's unconditional. It's dependable. Gracious Father, we pray right now you would pour out your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you would bring to us, each one of us, a reminder of your love, your kindness, your mercy to each one of us. May we know and experience your great love for us. Pour out your blessing, we pray. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your love. In Jesus' name.